Good morning, you kings and priests to our Lord. You are a kingdom of priests, do you know that? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I had a vision of Jesus just at the end of our worship here. He was in the front of our congregation standing back up here underneath the cross, and he was going like this, just absorbing the praises to him, you know. The scripture says he inhabits the praises of his people, and he was just absorbing our praise and just taking it in and enjoying it. Isn't that nice to see that Jesus loves us that way? That's so precious. This week, a couple days ago, I got a word of knowledge for you. You know what a word of knowledge is? It's something that God knows about us that he wants revealed so that he can address it and heal it, however, you know, either through directly through the body or directly by himself. And the word of knowledge that I got was that God wants to settle your hearts. Settle your hearts. And then he reminded me of the scripture where Jesus was being ministered to by Mary, and Martha came out. She'd been doing all the cooking, and she complained. She says, "What's going on here? You know, I'm doing all the work, and Mary's getting all the joy." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled about too many things." So it unsettled her heart. So I'm speaking to you now in the name of Jesus. If you find that your heart is not settled, but troubled about many things right now, take time to reflect on that so that God can heal you of it. I'm not going to go any further until you take time to address it. Is your mind and your heart troubled by many things? Think about it. Troubled by many things. And then Jesus said to her, "Mary has chosen the good part." What was the good part? Worshiping Jesus. When our eyes and our hearts are fixed on Jesus, few things can trouble us. So I praise God for that. If you are experiencing that unsettledness of your hearts right now, in Jesus' name, be free. Let Christ take over your thought life. Focus on him. Or read Philippians 4:8. It tells you about the things you could think on. But if you focus on Christ, then the things you think about will be related to him. Hallelujah. And I got another word while we were worshiping. And the word was this, that some of us have been blown off course by life, by the enemy, by maybe the things that trouble your mind. And you know that you've veered off a little bit in your walk. You're not where you were. You're not close. You're not intimate. You're kind of going through the motions, and even them, they are difficult. And there's a struggle. When you get blown off a course, you're not in the spirit, and so you're not flowing, and it's troublesome. So you're trying to satisfy two things. The course that the enemy blew you off onto, and your desire to get back. And the only way you can get back is by appealing to Jesus and saying, "Lord, direct my steps back. I've been blown off course." Anybody here feel that way? You don't have to raise your hand. Blown off course. God wants to get you back on course so you can run your race. Come on. Tell the Lord, "Direct my steps back. Give me the power, Holy Spirit. Get me back on course. My mind has not been fruitful. It's been troubled. Too many things. But Mary chose the good part." Choose the good part. Jesus is the solution for all the things. You're not the solution. You can never be the solution for your life's problems. I'm not the solution for mine. Jesus. Praise his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Those of you, let's all of us praise God right now, because I don't want to single out anybody. There are some who know that God is speaking to them. And when God speaks to us and begins to heal us and redirect us and draw us back and all of that good stuff, then it's time to what? Give him thanks and praise him. So let's praise him. All of us praise him. That way nobody's single out. Just praise him. Thank you, God, for calling us back, settling our hearts and putting us back on course. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's hotter than a firecracker up here. The Lord's working on me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Let's pray this one thing, because I have a lot to share. I have too much. Andre keeps saying to me, trim it down, because I have an encyclopedia of revelations and things to share with you. I do. It's just like a huge cloud over my head of amazing truths. And then I write out all these notes, and Andre says, you going to try to teach all that? And the Lord says, yeah, she's right, isn't she? I said, okay, I'll just draw it down a little bit more. And he says, no. They haven't been where you've been. You have been, you got to realize, draw it down some more. So I'm trying to get it down to a place where I can just focus one thing. Jesus said this about us. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all men and all nations. It's the control center of the universe. Heaven, of course, directs it, but here on the face of the earth, the church is the control center through which the kingdom of God operates. When we pray, the kingdom of God come, it's not something out there that comes here. It's he who is here in us who begins to manifest more. See, the kingdom of God is first and foremost about a king. There is no kingdom without a king. So the king reigns and rules in a realm. And the first place that he reigns and rules is in people. If there are no people to rule, there's no real kingdom that's a functioning kingdom. The king must have someone to rule in and through. And he rules in and through us. Now, the present realm of the kingdom of God is not in its fullest extent. It is present, but not yet fully manifested. And it will not be fully manifested until the Lord returns. Right now, it exists in the church. And the church is in the kingdom, but the church is not the kingdom. We are the expression of the kingdom of God in the earth. And that's you. Without you and I, nobody knows about the kingdom of God. There is no such thing in their minds until there's a manifestation of the kingdom at work. First place it works, in us. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit within us. If God cannot reign in his subjects, then he cannot reign through his subjects. There's no possible way we can extend the kingdom to the world unless God reigns in us first, because we then express that truth to the lost. But that's not the only thing that we do. We also have a power of prayer. Last week I gave you a list of the weapons of our warfare, because there is no such thing as not being at war. Let me stop. In all of my 54 years, almost 55 years of walking with the Lord, I've never known a time like this. Most of the years that I have known have been wonderful, joyful experiences of understanding and experiencing the blessings of God. And recently, in these last days, I'm not talking about the end times completely, but just in this present season, I'm aware that we are at war like we have never been. Are you aware of that? Are you really, truly? And it's not a war we can avoid, because by avoiding it, we become victims. You know, we don't want to go AWOL. We have to stay in the fight. And it's not a comfortable thing to think about initially. However, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So how do we do that? And what are these weapons? Well, last week I mentioned, number one, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. We have the Word of God. We have the gospel. We have prophecies. We have the Holy Spirit and His powers. We have angels. We are called kings. We are priests. We are salt. We are light. We offer praise. We have prayers. There is fastings. There is the fact that we are reborn. My God, these are all weapons that we exercise against the works of the devil. And the one that we are called upon the most to do is pray. Because Jesus said this when the request was made, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, pray about the kingdom coming. Pray about the kingdom coming. So what he was saying to us is that the kingdom is everything God wants to do, all of his will being done through us now. Pray that. Pray that it's constantly done. Pray that the kingdom of God comes and that the will that I have for you be done here on earth as it is in heaven, period. I want that to be done. How's it going to do it? Pray. Because prayer initiates every other action. I'll say that again. Prayer initiates all actions in the kingdom. When we launch out without praying about something, we could launch out wrong. E.M. Bounds used to say he was a great man of prayer. During the Civil War, he was a chaplain for the Northern Army. He was a great man of God, and he would say this: you can never do more than pray, but you can always do more after you've prayed. Think about that. You can never do more than pray, but you can always do more after you've prayed. Another way of looking at it is this: without prayer, God will not. He will not move without prayer because he has bound himself to what he told us to do. If you will pray, the kingdom will come. Without prayer, God will not. And without prayer, we cannot. Prayer is so absolutely vital as a function of the kingdom to bring the effect of the kingdom of God into the earth. Now, some people, and I don't want to throw you a curveball, but I have to tell you the truth. Some people think that the kingdom of God is going to continue to advance and advance and advance and wipe out all the evil in the world, and finally Jesus will come back. That's one of the thoughts that some people have. But Jesus taught something about the kingdom of God that dismisses that thought. He said that in the earth, good and evil will grow together until the end. The wheat and the tares are going to continue to exist. They will coexist until the very end when the angels come and harvest. And the tares will be gathered up and burnt, and the wheat will be gathered into the Lord's kingdom, his ultimate kingdom. You follow this? So the utopian mindset will never take place until Jesus returns. In the meantime, we will have this constant struggle where the influence of the kingdom of God through us either is more effective than the kingdom of the enemy or less effective. It depends upon us. You follow that? So if we want peace times, we're going to see that the church become more effective. All right, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. No, I said 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Yes, that's where I'm at. We're going to read just these four verses. Therefore, I exhort first of all, gather that, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. So the question for us is, what is the most important thing that we can do to establish more of the kingdom on the face of the earth? Who is in power? Because after it's all said and done, people in power affect those who are under their authority. And those who are under the authority of the powers behave according to the authorities. Is that true? Do you agree with that? Okay. Good. So here, let's take this apart a little bit. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Here's the things that God wants us to experience. Number one, that we live in quietness, peace, godliness, honesty, and integrity. He wants that for us. That's the second thing. This is good in the sight of our Lord's eyes. Third point, so men can come to the truth by the preaching of the gospel. You follow that? All right, let me draw back. Good environment opens the door for good preaching. When the environment is, let's say you lived in communist Russia or communist China, how easy is it there for you to preach the gospel? Not very easy. Why? The government. So let's go back and look at the government. First of all, God is saying, this is what I want you to do first and foremost. When we come together as the house of prayer, we need to pray this. Not one time. One time isn't going to settle it. Every time. Every time. This is a weapon of our warfare to come against the evil that works through men. Because on the other side, we have the enemy and his principalities and his demons and his lies working through unsaved people. And we got unsaved people in every place in government and in society. And the enemy works on and through them. So, how do we pray for those in authority? And while I'm at it, let me say, when we think about authority, we think maybe only of people in government positions, but the word authority there is anyone in prominence. Anyone who has a position to influence others. Anyone. The Board of Education, planning and zoning. Come on. Union heads. Teachers, the media, everybody who has a prominent position can influence the people under them in both their thinking and in their behavior to either release them or control them, to give them liberty or not, to allow them to function in righteousness or in evil ways. And this is how what we'll call the madness of crowds. If you notice today, people don't bother to think anymore. They just go along with what they have been told, and they flow with the madness of the rest of the crowd. There's no more thinking involved because the governing forces have either controlled them and taught them how to behave or let them free to behave in any way they want. All right. So then, how do we pray for everybody in authority? There are two scriptures from the Old Testament that I think they're very helpful. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 16. They apply today because they have to do with people in authority, in prominent positions. And in Deuteronomy, we find that God is giving instructions on how Israel is going to live in the new land. And so there's instructions about everything. Beginning in Deuteronomy 16 and in verse 18. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with, number one, righteousness. Two, they shall not pervert justice. They shall not show partiality, nor shall they take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Do you see that working today in society? Huh? Isn't God wise? All the way back into those early times. Righteous people, they don't bend the laws, they don't show partiality, and they don't take bribes. We have all four of those things taking place today in every position of prominence that affects people. There's this perversion that's going on. Isn't that amazing? All right, the second scripture is in 2 Samuel 23. Now, this is King David speaking. These are his last words, and I'm only going to select this one scripture, verse 3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men must be righteous, ruling in the fear of God. Those were the two principal things that he saw. Righteousness and ruling in the fear of God. So if we put them all together, we end up with praying for those in authority who, I made up a little prayer here. Here's a prayer that I made up this past week. Father, we honor you in Jesus' name and desire that your kingdom come and come. We praise our Lord Jesus, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, and desires that all men be saved. We pray in his name for all in authority. And then I have a little parenthesis here, list them. National government, state government, local government, education, media, military, police. Come on, where else can we go? On and on, every place that people have a prominent position in order that we live quiet, peaceable, godly lives in all honesty and integrity. We ask that Holy Spirit move on these authorities who have rule and that they rule righteously, morally, ethically, in the fear of God. Further, that they be kept from bending laws, favoring certain people, taking bribes. We pray that this establishes an environment that facilitates the spread of the knowledge of the one true God and Jesus, the mediator between God and men. Does that make sense? That we pray that all these people who are in authority be affected by the Holy Spirit in such a way that they live in righteousness. Your question is now, how can an ungodly man become righteous? By the Holy Spirit? Can tell him, guide him or her, and direct them to do the right thing. The Old Testament reveals this. King Nebuchadnezzar knew it very well after God beat him up a little bit through Daniel. He said, I know now that the God of heaven rules in the affairs of men, that he sets one up and he puts one down, that he has absolute authority over all. Proverbs 21 says this, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can move that person any way he wants, like he can direct the streams of the rivers. So God can do that if we will pray for these people. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll even be saved. Nebuchadnezzar was never saved. Darius was never saved. Cyrus was not saved, and yet he helped, you know, Israel go back to Jerusalem. Do you follow what I'm saying? We can affect, by prayer, even people who are not yet saved. Not that they can't be, but they may not be at the present time. That they are righteous, that they begin to think righteously. There's a conviction that comes upon them. As Jesus said, that when the Holy Spirit comes into this earth, he will convict or reprove men of sin. And they can be convicted of sin. Let me tell you something, saints. Even when I was a nasty unbeliever, I knew right and wrong. I knew what sin was, and I knew it when I did it. And there were times I tried to correct myself. Did you ever go through that? You knew right and you knew wrong. Second thing is, we need to have these people recognize, like Nebuchadnezzar, to fear God, that the Holy Spirit present himself in such a way that all in authority begin to recognize there's one true God. That these people do not bend laws to suit themselves or their constituents, but they're faithful to the laws that are on the books. Because you know what? The laws that have been put on the books of this United States were given there by righteous men and women, godly people. That they do not bend them, that they do not favor people or take bribes, which we see taking place in this world. We can pray these things. Now, I could pass out these little prayer lists if you'd like. Here's the thing that God is after. I don't know that we can accomplish it between now and fall when everybody stops vacationing. We need to be together as one people in one accord praying this. Period. It's no good to have a fraction of us praying it and the other fraction not knowing what we're doing. I don't see that, because the Bible, especially in the book of Acts, reveals that when they were all together in one accord, they prayed. You follow this? It's important to God. It's important to me that we all get on the same page, that we're all together, that we're all praying the same thing, that we're working together with one purpose, that we're just not attending church like we're going to a movie and seeing a show, that we realize we're the kingdom of God in the presence of the world, that we represent it, that there's something more important here than just getting blessed. You know, I'm just going to tell you from my heart, I'm tired of singing songs, quote, that are Christian, that use God as a vending machine. He's so good to me. Oh, I need him so much. And he's saying, it's about time you went to work. I didn't save you just to bless you. I saved you to advance the kingdom of God in this earth. We need more of that. There's not enough seriousness. It's all about me and my problems and God helping me out. God, help us. Deliver us from that. It's time for the God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords to be reflected through us. Yeah, he'll take care of our stuff. He's promised that. He said, you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you, but I need you to be me here in this earth. So before we go into all praying together, I'm just going to stop for today and say, let's pray that we become one, that we act as one, that we can pray as one, okay? This is really important to me. This is so much on my heart, I can't even give you words. I feel there is too much disconnect in us, not only in attendance, but in thought and in attitude and in commitment. We're not there. You may disagree with me, but I hope you see what I'm saying. We need that kind of oneness here. Would you agree with that? When Jesus told the disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, they didn't scatter. They agreed. They went. They stayed together. They prayed 10 days. And it says when they were all together in one accord, then God moved. There's something about being together in one accord that God likes. He likes it. He likes it very much. So I'm praying this morning that we become a people of one accord. This is not for me. This is for us. This is for the glory of our Lord. This is for him, that we do what he likes. Father, we want to be effective here in this earth for you. We want to take our walk seriously. I know and you know we've got issues. We've got stuff. There's things hanging over us, all kinds of demands. And when has that not ever been the case for your people? When was there a time when there were no demands on any of your people about their livelihoods, their food, their shelter, their farms, their kids, the roof over their head, enough money? When has that ever been not the case? It's always been the case. And God knows very well, if you do what I ask you to do, is what he says, I will supply you. Come on. Come on. God help us. Would you pray with me about this? Would you agree with me? Would you just in your own words say, God, help us all. Forgive us for we are all accountable, whether you have been guilty or not. We collectively admit as a body of one that we have not been as we should be. God, forgive us. Draw us together by your Spirit. Act on us so that we act as the one people that you want us to be. For your glory, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Would you say amen? Are you praying this with me right now? Are you really? Are you really praying it right now? It's a serious prayer. The enemy loves division. He loves us being on different pages at different times and not being together. He likes that. A house divided cannot stand very well. But we are one body in one accord with the purposes of God in our heart. And we will execute them to the fullest extent that you give the ability to us, Lord. We want to be what you want us to be. We ask that in Jesus' holy name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Thank you, saints.